Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Delve. We now return to our interview with Elizabeth Belisario and Amber Gilchrist discussing Skirt Sando. There we go. Got it in one take. Yep, totally. Oh, and just a quick show note, we did record this over a month ago, so some of the details about the Kickstarter were still in development phase when we were talking to them. All right, enjoy. So what does Skirt Sando... just so happy when I figured this out. In Skirt Sando, what do you have any kind of like a framework of what they can do to create that narrative? Is there anything in the description that kind of determines the sort of way you structure that narrative, or is it pretty much just whatever the players want to come up with?
Some of the structure comes from those features. I probably neglected to explain this properly, but there are features established at the beginning in setup that relate directly just to the setting you've created. And then after each scene, you create a new feature note card that relates directly to whatever just happened at that scene. In that scene, if you met a new character, then you can create a note card for that character. And then in the next scene, that note card will also be present. So you have a framework and you can, based on that note card, whatever note card is drawn, and based on whatever characters are going to be in the scene next, discuss a little bit and figure out why are these people in the scene together with this feature note card? What could plausibly be happening? And then they role play it from there.
We have a couple other mechanics that get used as tools for that. Is right at the beginning, as a part of the process of developing making your characters and your setting and stuff, you end up generating two separate conflicts that exist in the world in some way. And usually those don't end up being kind of the main force that the players are working against, but sometimes it does. But it does kind of provide a structure to work against when you're playing. And then the other thing that ends up causing it is a mechanic called interjection, where during a scene, a player can interject and kind of gain temporary narration power to declare that something happened in the world that is either good for the players or bad for the players, or good for the characters or bad for the characters. And if it's good for the characters, then, I mean, either way, regardless, you then listen to one of the musicians play a little music and you guess what emotion they get. And you hope you're right. And if you've interjected with something that's good for the characters, then that thing happens the way you say it does if you guess it right. But either way, you are giving up your ability to make one of your two emotion guesses at the end. The end of the scene has to end work if you make something good happen. And then if you make something bad happen, then you get like a bonus at the end of the scene if you can guess the musician emotion correctly. So if you make bad things happen during the scene, then the scene can end better for you. And we find that actually goes a long way towards kind of introducing new conflict and introducing new story threads into the story and into the world in like this democratic process that gives everybody a chance to add a few of their own to that pool.
Oh, all right. Okay. I think I get that. I think, I mean, as much as I usually get mechanics, I think I understand that pretty well. Alex, you're more mechanics driven.
Yes.
So what's your thinking?
On which part? Just in general?
Thing. Yeah, just in general. What are you thinking right now? And it better not be about a damn snowman. I'm just saying that right now.
I told you to let it go, Nathan.
I'm thinking
it's definitely interesting how the mechanics will interact with how you're playing. I think it would be really interesting to play it. That being said, I have a harder time hearing the mechanics without playing it and figuring out how it works. So I would need to have it in front of me to actually really grasp it. So that's me.
Well, luckily for you, we have some good news on that front. Is that first of all, we have an open beta on our website right now at www.skirtsandogame.com/beta that you can download and have a look through an open beta version of the rules on your own for the low price of nothing. And it's not a final version of the rules. The final rule set will come with a lot more like tables for pre-generating settings and advice on how to play musically and prettier design and all of these things.
Nice art.
And nice art. I love our art. You know, you can see a working version of the rules right now. And then also, we're going to be on Kickstarter in October, so you can, you know, back our book then, and then you can hopefully get the real version of it, and the rulebook will teach you how to play it as you play it.
That is often a great way to learn, is learning as you play.
Yeah.
Unless you want to make a quick game, then it's the worst way to learn.
Yes, that is also true.
If you want to have a fast game, you should learn the game first. Any game.
Okay. Thanks, Alex.
You're welcome.
When you were mentioning the art, who did you have do the artwork for the game?
We have this artist called Scutch. On Twitter, I believe he's at Scutch Draws. He does a lot of art for like he does a lot of fan art for like leftist YouTubers, which is a pretty weird niche spot to find him. But
Scutch Draws. I will make sure to check that out. When you were creating the rule book. Imagine that there was some playtesting involved. When you had those people come into play it, I imagine that they had different varying abilities when it came to music and rhythm. For the people that were kind of like on the lower end, I got no rhythm and I don't know what to do. Did you find that this helped them kind of understand music better? Were they able to kind of like pick it up and maybe take something away from it? Did you get any feedback on that?
It's not quite a music theory lesson or like an instrument performance lesson. Our ultimate goal with it is that people will stop saying, oh, I wish I could play an instrument, but I have no talent. Our goal with the game is to give them a space to explore that and maybe have fun with it, even if they think they can't have fun because they're bad or something. And we've gotten feedback that that has happened for people. And that's just the best kind of feedback.
Great.
My heart.
Yeah, that's terrific. For me, I keep thinking about, oh no, I have to know how to do things. And I get concerned by that. But the idea that maybe I don't have to feel as concerned about it once I've played the game makes me feel all happy inside and like I can let it go. So, and I can experience less fearness and less angerness, but way more sad. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you sadness.
God damn it! Start a goddamn it counter. Like I want to know how many times.
How many times? Well, you know, if I don't, if I don't drown it to death. Then there's really no point. I've said it way more than you at this point, so feel good about it. You can pass the blame on to me at this point.
I just blame Nathan for everything, honestly.
So it's in every episode, I get blamed for something.
I don't want to. We've talked a lot about like making it accessible to beginners, and that is all totally true. I also do want to like be clear to anyone out there listening who like is an established musician. That it's not like a game where you can't use any of those skills, right? When you have like someone who sits down and like really knows how to play a piano and gets in front of a piano while playing this game, it is absolutely one of the coolest game experiences I've ever had, is just being able to hear that happen.
One of our very early playtests, well, I was a music major, so all of my friends were also music majors, and we had like a harpist, I think a saxophonist and two composition majors playing, and it was just so cool.
So you absolutely don't need to have that level to play this game. It's completely accessible to everyone. It's a lot of fun regardless of what level you're at. But if you are at that next level, definitely don't feel like you aren't going to get a chance to flex those muscles, because you totally will be able to.
Perfect. So if I just put this game down in front of like a professional jazz session band, I have to record it basically. I have to put that up on yes. some platform.
Right. My question would be whether, like, how much experience they had in role-playing games and what their background there is. That, I think, would be the determining factor in that case. But, like, yes, basically.
So, like, if I'm an improvisational musician, I'd be all set. Okay, good. Alex, with all of your music training, did you ever do improvisational?
No, Nathan, I was in chorus. I wasn't in band.
Oh, okay.
And improv is generally something, like, more jazzy.
That's okay.
Maybe not right. always.
Yeah,
but...
unfortunately, in my very, very, very classical upbringing as a musician, like, I basically have gotten zero improv, like, formal improv training. So this game was also for me to...
It's almost oxymoronic there.
Improv training? Is that...
No, formal improv.
Oh, well... I mean, you can practice improv. It's very necessary. But yeah, so this game is also for me to loosen up and realize that I don't have to have everything perfect before I play something in front of people.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's a confidence thing. I mean, you feel that in a lot of role-playing experiences anyway, that you build confidence in whatever you're doing. So it makes sense to me, you know, if you have a musical-based RPG, that you would get more confident in that regard.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is going to be in Kickstarter fairly soon. Tell me what I can expect from the Kickstarter. What is the, first of all, what is the goal for the Kickstarter, your monetary goal?
We don't have a number yet. We're still working on the kinks on the number specifically.
All right. That's in the works. Okay. So,
we have a month before we have over a month. It'll be fine. We're still working on it.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Do you have any tier levels yet for different pledge levels?
I think we'll probably have levels for like a PDF and the physical book and perhaps some add-ons like physical note cards for things that occur in every game, like the character or musician assignments, stuff like that, physical tokens and stuff.
We may also get like a retail tier level, but we're not really looking to have like a whole lot of tiers involved in this Kickstarter.
Keep it somewhat simple, maybe just mm-hmm. like three or so tiers so that you can, it's easy to figure out. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Out of curiosity, just like as I'm sitting here, I'm just starting to think to myself, do you think that this would be a good sort of game to have if, like, for instance, you were students of music? If I were a student and I was taking music, do you see this being the kind of game that would actually help me while I was actually taking classes, learning about music?
We've considered but not actually gone forth with trying to introduce this game to, like, elementary school music level. It might be kind of mechanics heavy for that, or at least there's a lot of things to keep track of, but I think primarily the benefit of playing this game for playing music is the confidence building aspect that we touched on earlier.
I mean, I can kind of see where the mechanics may be a little hard for really young kids, but I think once you're like 12 or 13, I think you'd probably be able to get your head around it pretty easily.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And for all you know, it might make people who were not necessarily thinking about music or had any interest in music really get interested in it because it's presented to them in a new way.
That would be awesome.
there's a goal. Was that really the intention? Like when you had the idea for Skirt Sando, which I am so proud I can say.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I know. We all, hey, that was my learning experience for the night. When you originally were developing it, what did you, like, your most lofty hope for the game? What was that?
Oh, at the very beginning? Oh, gosh. God, do you even remember what that was?
Barely. I remember being stuck on, I was still very stuck on, like, music theory aspects of things that no one would appreciate except for me. Like, I kept trying to connect things to sonata form. That's just not the way to go. I think our goal of getting people comfortable with playing music has stayed pretty consistent throughout.
It's a good goal to stick with. And it certainly sounds like if that was your goal, you've certainly seen it through to fruition to the end.
Hope so.
My, like, private goal that doesn't actually matter for this game is just to someday be able to walk into like a game store somewhere and see it on the shelf. That's a goal that doesn't actually matter, but secretly I really want it to happen.
I don't think you're alone in like the game dev community in having that wonderful moment. I think a lot of people really would love to see their game on a shelf somewhere and have that moment where you feel like you get like an emotional gold star. You get a gold star that's inside you. It's in your heart. I usually like gold stars that are very much actually gold stars. But I'll take an imaginary one too.
On a shelf in a game store somewhere. I will go out and I will buy myself a gold star sticker, honestly. I deserve that point.
I cannot judge you for that. That's perfectly fine.
I always want to talk about Scherzando and like the embodied experience, because this is the thing I've thought about a lot with this game, is that, you know, so much of the tabletop experience up to and including this game is about sitting like around a table, right, and just talking around the table. But this thing that you see when you see people play Scherzando, and we've seen a lot of people play Scherzando, is you see people like reaching around the table and moving their chairs around to get like a better, like an instrument or whatever, and like picking things up and moving things around and like using their bodies in like this way that you don't often see in role-playing games. And I think that's an exciting thing that I like to key in on, is trying to remember that like your players are people, and they're people with bodies, and they like enjoy using their bodies in just ways that a lot of games don't necessarily cater to. And I think that's one of the playful, exciting things about the game, is that other than just like kind of the delight of picking up these instruments and just like seeing what sounds you can make with them, is also just the delight of kind of doing that with your body and having that embodied experience is like a really rare and a really special thing in games, I think. So if I can just do that much bragging about our game, I would like to say that it does that, sure, in a way that most games short of like LARPing just like don't have.
Right. Yeah. So it's physically interactive in a way that you don't necessarily get with, you know, rolling dice.
Mm-hmm. You're doing the thing with your arms or with your voice or with whatever you're doing.
It's very literal role play, because you have to be embodying it as you are doing it. You are the mechanic.
You and your body is a much more interesting randomizer than dice, right?
Oh yeah. Well, if you saw me play, it would very much look random. I will give you that. It's going to be a very randomized experience. My big hope is that one day I'm going to see YouTube videos where people play Scherzando.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to see the most amazing performances by like musicians who know what they're doing, really being their full attention, they're all. I think that will be really.
We are a little bit trying to do the podcast circuit right now. I was just on one shot with this game a few days ago.
Yes, James D'Amato.
With James D'Amato. So that'll be out in the near future. Hopefully a few other podcasts as well. I don't know. Let us know if you have any you think we should be on. Hook us up with those. We're trying to do that.
James was just on the show not too long ago. We were talking about his new book. So he's really great for that. I will also suggest, just because I've had very nice interactions with him, if you look for We're Not Wizards, they talk to so many people. And he is in Scotland. I think he's Scottish.
Sure.
And he's an awfully fun character. Cannot remember his name off the top of my head. But he does
good job.
But he does a lot of episodes on tabletop, and he loves to talk to designers. So that's a fun time. He'd enjoy talking to you, I know.
This is not a very serious game, and I think embracing that leads to really fun places. As it says in our little tagline, it's about things going explosively wrong, sometimes literally. So,
and it's totally true that there are a lot more emotions to explore than fun. But also Scherzando is a lot of fun. It's a wacky, silly game.
Nathan's great at wacky, silly games.
And if it's not a wacky, silly game, I'll make it into one. So
Exactly.
That's my goal. But, you know, it's nice that the game actually did most of the work for me in making it a wacky, silly game. It's less on me to turn it into that. I like that.
Can you imagine what you could even do with a game that is already wacky and silly?
I'm scared to think, to be honest with you, Amber. I don't know if I want to know. If we ever find out, I'll make sure to record it for you.
Please do. Send it to us.
Yes, we will send you.
Lord knows I have not listened to enough playthroughs of this game.
There's always room for one more.
There always is.
Excellent. Alex, you know what I learned today?
That you don't have to know how to do music to make music.
I learned how to say scorsando.
I mean, Ando. That's something you actually learned. So that's good job, Nathan. Gold star for you.
And it's the real one this time. I want to thank Elizabeth Felisario and Amber Gilchrist for coming on the show. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much, yeah.
And if anyone was interested in learning more about Scherzando, where could they go on the internet?
We have a website. It's scherzandogame.com. Let me spell that. S-C-H-E-R-Z-A-N-D-O game.com. And we're on Twitter at scherzandorpg.
Excellent. Alex, if they want to find out more about the improvisational show called Delve, where could they go?
I mean, we're not an improv show. We just make things up, Nathan.
Well, that.
But you can find more about Delve over at delvecast.com.
Yeah, making things up. You know what? Never mind. Yes, you can find everything you can over at delvecast.com. We really appreciate that. While you're there, if you happen to be there, check out our little Patreon link. We got one in the corner, and you can check out what we have over there on Patreon. If you are one of our shiny level sponsors, we will say your name as a named person on the show. And we actually have two. So thank you to Dom Perry and Bonnie Ainsworth for being our shiny people and giving me so many stars, literal stars. No, fictitious stars. That's fictitious, right, Alex? They didn't actually give me gold stars.
Yeah, I don't know if you've bought yourself any stars lately, so we're going to go with yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I got to go get some stars now. Damn. You can also find us on iTunes and Google Play. Make sure to rate and review and subscribe when you go. And also, you can find us on the Twitter. And I'm at Citanium.
I'm at EXP Limited, and the show is at Delve Podcast.
And so I want to, again, just thank Amber and Elizabeth for coming on and telling us all about Scherzando.
Nice.
I did
thank
it.
You. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I don't know how to end the episode. I feel like there's an improvisational way that I could end this episode, but I can't think of it.
You know how you end the episode, Nathan? You know how?
I'm waiting.
You let it go.
I'm feeling a certain amount of angerness and sadness right now.
Just the damn it joke. I can't do it again.
I'll do it. Damn it.
Oh, I am so full of fearness right now. Anyway, thanks for joining us, folks.
Thank you. It's been great.
Thank you to everyone listening on Delveness, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Perfect.
Cool.
That was exactly what I wanted.
The better they guess, the better the scene goes for them.
Okay. So let me think about that for a second.
We can say more things if you need.
Please say more things. Things.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Great.
I'll make sure to like kind of go up at the
it's
end.
Okay.
But
I think a lot of it is like Elizabeth and I are waiting for each other to see who's going to talk first to try to like.
Okay. I wish I had like a talking stick I could just pass around digitally. everybody, but you can't see it, so it doesn't really help me at all.
It's so much easier when we're in the same room and we can just look at each other.
Oh, yep. Yeah. I know. I try to avoid that with Alex. it's better we're not in the same room. I prefer it that way.